I want to tonight, though, bring us to a close, a capstone, not a close, but I also want to begin building a bridge to this next dimension that the Lord is so hungry to bring us to as a church, as a people, especially at the Cornerstone. Obviously, this is personal with us, even though all of these things are for the wide church and the church in every city, but we've been very personal with Cornerstone, as we are every year. This whole weekend with the men, with the young people, all of this has been really good. And so I want to do that tonight. I want to share a lot of things, but out of one verse. So if you would, turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Don't we appreciate our Bible? It's a absolutely beautiful book. We had fun in it this morning, right? A little history there. I think we can start reading our Bibles with a bit more life in it, don't you? So many great things, great stories. Incredible verse Paul shares with the church in Corinth. We'll read it and then we'll pray. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God who is faithful, that we can absolutely trust, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, remain stoked over your heart and passion for us, your people. Your willingness to release your Son to walk in the earth. He was cut off from the land of the living, is how the prophet Isaiah will say. We're so thankful for that. That in his ascension, a covenant was established between you and him. And we have been simply invited into it. Incredible. It is true, good news to all mankind has come to the earth. It's peace on earth to all mankind. So tonight I'm asking you to settle some areas in our lives. Let peace rule our hearts, the peace of God rule our hearts. But let there be a new thirst for the dimensional God. Let us be a new hunger to find you in places we never thought we could, to know you in dimensions that at one time in history, no man could ever consider them. So, Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, so good to see you here. Good thing it's not next weekend. At least in Carolina, right? Yeah. It has three clear dimensions to it. I want to do them for you. It's partnership, participation, and really the key word in this koinonia word, is intimacy. God is faithful. I've got to hold on to it. Here, here, and here. You and I, tonight, let's settle that we can trust him. He's not like a man who says one thing and does another. He's not like a man who, when we're feeling good or things are better, he's better. Oh, no, no. He always is. Good, good, good. Appreciate that this evening, right? Absolutely is. Don't judge him by our fathers. I say to my son, and he'll say to me, no, no, Dad. I'll say to him, listen, at best, I was a lousy father. I just did what I thought was right. And he goes, no, no, you're a good father. And I make him sure, no, 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 no. We now have a good father. So he's faithful. Let's look. This is amazing. We are from the initiation to this kingdom. If you've never been in it, it's this simple. It is this simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved. We didn't realize it, though, but it is true. As soon as we came into the kingdom of God, the day that I accepted him, 22 years old, Linda and I, she first, me second, I was translated immediately into the kingdom of God, immediately from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, translated there as you were. I didn't really go anywhere, but I went somewhere. And without realizing it, though, we were immediately given partnership in the kingdom. Paul will say it like this. You're now an heir of God, not just his kingdom, but an heir of him. You're now a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Everything the original heir got, who was Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, all things and all the kingdoms subject to him, time gone by, present, and to come, all subject to him. It is all about him. He's preeminent. He is the heir of all things. We are joint heirs with him. So I want us to remember this, because when he came to the earth and they began to bleed him in the garden and they began to beat him, his blood was for our sins, past, present, and future. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. Listen, if you and I are walking in the light, I want you to do that. I just walk every day cleansed. Things that bothered me 2 years ago are gone. Things that might bother me 2 years from now will be gone too. It just cleanses me. What an amazing thing. But they bruised him for our iniquities. Those are the things that are still in me that I don't even know have come out yet. He was already taking care of those with their bruising. They had no idea. They beat him and they hurt him. I think about it every day, not Easter. The meditation of my heart is his life from his beginning to his ascension and to his sitting at the right and all of it. I want to know him in every place of it. But I never realized that he and the Father, two immutable things, the Hebrew writer said, they're the ones who covenanted together, and that's why no man could ever break it. It was two unchangeable things. Nothing will change it. And what he's done is he's invited us. That's the word called. It's not a calling. It's an invitation to come. So as soon as you and I got born again, I want to make it very clear to us. That's why when we start leaving here every week from this week on, every day we leave our home, we're carrying this gospel of good news to people. As soon as someone gets born again, they're immediately translated to the kingdom. They're immediately heirs to the kingdom. Immediately. It's amazing. I don't want to go through the covenant too much of those, but every one of those things, the bruising, the beating, I like this. I heard it as a phrase. I just liked it. Some guy who's a little stokey. He said he was beaten so we would be unbeaten. I like that. I thought, yeah, I like the play on words, man. It's true. And so immediately, all of us in this room, isn't it incredible? He invited us from the eternal place, and the Son came, and when the Son died and was resurrected, to all mankind. Anyone who willingly wants to, you're invited. We're invited. The world's invited. He's not asking anything of us. This is amazing. If we want to remain silent partners, he's okay with it. But this isn't the ultimate intention of the invitation. But even here, God is faithful. And so he's coming. I want to make it sure. He's come with healing wings. And he's come and delivered. I want to see everybody to be able to see me fully. He has come to deliver to us the power of the kingdom, the power of the covenant. And that healing and wholeness is with us and travels with us. And we are the ones carrying the light and the salt. And in us is the power of the living God. It doesn't matter how much of the Christ is here. When we came into the kingdom, he said, the kingdom's yours. You know Judas himself cast out devils and healed the sick. Judas did. Yeah, come on. He did. I think if Judas can do it, we could do it. So I want us to know, and I want us to be released tonight, that we're carrying like an incubator the heart and passion of God right from the beginning. When we got born again, I prefer the word, which is really the truth, born from above. He took above and put it in the earth, this earth. And the above came with the covenant of God, the heart of God, the passion of God. What he wants it to do is not remain a seed, but it's in all of us. That's why sometimes there's a frustration. That's why I've been saying what I'm saying. We got a whole history of the greatness of God. He is our God, not will be someday. We do have the kingdom of God, and we aren't suffering for it. It's ours, and we're here to exercise it in our homes, in our businesses, in our schools, all around the world. Why? Because he invited us. We are absolute partners, all of us. Look at somebody just by you and say, yo, good to be in the business. It's the family business. Come on. We're in the family business. Come on. It's a family business. I didn't know. I thought I had this struggle, become holy. No, I am holy. I'm becoming and I am. Okay, so here's the initial thing is partnership. So we're all in. I love what Pastor Sean said this morning, because even the prodigal son, isn't it interesting? He went on his own journey, lost everything, but he never changed his name. So we got to chill a little bit on people. They're backsliding. They're gone. Oh, no. They're partners in the business. They're partners in the business. He'll take care of them. Do you know what's with cords of mercy that he draws men to repentance? I thought it was, I'll kill you, little Clint Eastwood. You're feeling lucky, punk, in the wrath of God. No, the wrath of God is done. It's finished. It's now cords of mercy. much stronger than wrath. I'm having to learn that because mercy didn't come with me. It's not one of my gifts. It isn't, especially when I'm waiting in line and the guy in the front that does not order his coffee yet. Why are you at Starbucks and you don't even know what? See, do you serve coffee here? Oh, my God. Well, how many flavors do you have? Oh, no, you're kidding me. Of course, inside of myself, I'm like that. Outside, I'm going, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. All right, so we're partners. We're partners. Just do it up here. Like, I want to see my other family members. You don't know we're scattered all around the world. We're in Sweden. We're in France. We're in England. We're in Germany. We're in Iran and Iraq. And we're in Saudi Arabia. And we're in Singapore. And we're in China. And we're in Taiwan. And we're in North Korea and South Korea. That's our family. He salted us all over the world. We're one nation under one God. Yeah, I know America uses it. I'm cool with that. I love our nation. But it's not about our nation. It's about this holy nation that he's planted. Every one of us, we're all partners and we're all covenanted already because the two of them made covenant, which nobody can disallow, no one can break. He was the high priest and he remains the high priest. We okay? All right, now to the next one, which I love. It's participation. See, now you could be a partner but never participate. He's wanting us just not to believe. He's wooing us. It's an invitation by a lover. Please know this about him. Boy, I sure would love to just talk about his love. He's an absolute lover. The only reason J. Drew is like he is because he's so overwhelmingly loved. Now, I had to go through a time when it was hard to receive, hard to believe. I wasn't sure because I didn't have a great father relationship. I didn't have a really great mother relationship. Oldest one, a lot of pressure being the oldest, all these things. I just didn't like it. I even with Linda, is I liked women, but I didn't want to know women. I just liked them. You know what I mean? But I found out if you're going to get married, you're going to have to know them and like them, which I've loved now. But I had to be loved, and he's loving me as he's doing with us all weekend, and he'll continue to. He just loves me and loves me. It's incredible. He has this multiplicity of love, and he loves you and I uniquely, individually, not one and the same, be this one. And he just, the love of God, it continually washes me, and he continually speaks words over us that cleanses us. He does it. It's a great thing. I love the prophecy. I love the prophetic word. I love speaking it, but there's nothing like him speaking over you. Yeah, I love it. Even if he doesn't speak, I just want to be with him. I'm going to get to that in a minute. So here's this participation. Yeah, about a year into our Christianity, I wanted to be a participant. I wanted to be, really the Bible term is a disciple. I didn't just sit around. Even when he got his disciples around him, because the reason he brought his disciples together, Mark will say in the second chapter, is to be with him. See, the reason he invited you and I is he wants to be with us. He does. Now, it's taken me time to learn that, but that's the real reason. But eventually what he did was he released them out. He says, I want you to go two by two. Go, whatever city you go in, you cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the leper. They were like, wow, are you kidding me? Things that you did? And he didn't even give them the kingdom. He just gave them that power. We not only have that power, but we have the kingdom. Because they couldn't have the kingdom until he died, resurrected, and ascended, but he could give the power. So we have the power of the kingdom and the kingdom. So here it is. He wants us to participate with him, being a disciple. What is that? It's very simple. It's a beautiful word. We don't use it in our English language. It just means to be a pupil, student, teacher. Being taught, being teachable, just learning. Now, that wasn't good for me, being a D-minus student, graduating high school, the bottom 5% of my class. And I'm going to go to college. Yeah, right. That they were like, hello, is there anything in there? I was, so I didn't realize it. But then when I got in this kingdom, it's incredible. He wasn't drilling me. He wasn't making me. He wanted me to learn him. He wanted me not just to hear him, not just to listen to him, not just to be thankful that he's given me everything. He really wanted me to learn him. Can you believe it? You must know that Michael Jordan, just to talk about him just for a second, is not interested in LeBron James averaging more than he does in his lifetime. No athlete does, no man does, but this man, God, came so that you and I would be as he is. He has made a place of equality for you and I, not that I would become a savior, I'm not, but every demonstration, every depth of relationship, every dimension of power and glory and understanding. He came so that we would be as he is and as he was. When I started to learn that, I thought, man, I'm in. No limitation? I mean, I can't only go so far. And Pastor Sean, because he's nicer and talks more eloquent, he gets to go farther than me, and I get to go, And then there's a few other big people, and I just got to kind of squirm around and be happy because I'm just Jay. And, you know, I would tell our kids, you just need to be satisfied with that little stinky bike. One day you'll have a bigger one. No. It's so whoever will. Oh, yeah, it's to whoever will to come into the kingdom, but it's to whoever will. How much of him do you want to live? The Pharisees said about him, look, the whole world's gone after him. When I first saw that, I thought, I want it to be said of us. I want a people that I can live with and a people I walk with in my generation that is not only don't want to just receive from him, but they want to walk as he walked with his disciples. So it's with this place of discipleship that he's transforming you and I, that we're becoming like him. We're really walking in love and forgiveness. We're really walking in the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. We're living to reconcile the world to Christ, the world to God, sons to fathers, the spirit of Elijah, fathers to sons. We're wanting to see the whole thing reconciled, and we're not satisfied until it is. And we're not living, by the way, from some earthly strain or earthly water or anything earthly. He put his life in you and I so that we would live by his life and through his life, by his faith and through his faith. And that we would be the ones carrying, and I stood it over here and participating. He wants, listen, I want you to hear this person like it was just me and you sitting across from the desk tonight. He wants us to understand the power to raise the dead is in every one of us and with everyone. The power that to heal Ebola, you name it. I've got a lot of doctor friends, I've said this before, that they say to me, Jay, we have strains we're not sure of. I said, well, just name it. It'll be under the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, see, I want you to believe that. See, listen, look at how it is in this room right now. I want us to believe that. We are not afraid of any disease. We're not afraid of anything demonic. We're not afraid of threats from some other nation. We're not here to fight or to war. That is not who we are. We're to be bearing sackcloth, walking humbly. They tried to get him to rebel and to fight, and they couldn't. That's strength. They tried to make him fight. And he said to them, if my kingdom was of this world, I'd be slapping you silly right now. Well, he didn't really say it like that. He said, I can call 12 legions of angels right now. One angel killed 140,000 men in one night. I could call 12 legions of them right now, but my kingdom's out of this world. It's from another world. I'm here for reconciliation. And I'm here to demonstrate an unseen God and really an unbelievable God. What I'm saying right now is just not believable unless you've come in as a partner into this kingdom. You know what it is? That's the partnership documents right up there. It's a covenant. And so here we are, Linda, myself, and my family, you name yours there. We're believing. That's it. And we've decided that we're going to walk as disciples. We're going to be students of the word. We're going to be people who learn, people who are submissive. We're going to be people who are obedient. We're going to be everything he wants us to be. Are there some times when we kind of go sideways or we stop? Yes. Are there some times I'm struggling with it? Yes. All of us are back there. But we're going to keep our eyes on the one who went before us. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. For some of us, suffering is just coming to church. But I understand, though. If I've got an aching back and an aching neck and I don't feel good, I don't want to go to church. That's suffering. But you learn obedience. It's all right. Listen, you okay? I want to get to the last one because that's where I live. This is where I walk. That's where I live. Our church, we joined the Gold's Gym. And I said to them, I want a deal for our kids, our high schoolers and our college students. I was the principal of the high school, and Linda and I taught in the Bible college, and I said, I just want to deal. Will you do this? Yeah, they did it. Fine. It's a great guy. We've remained friends. And so I said to the students, I said, don't tell anybody what I do. Don't do it. If they can't see it, I have a problem. And they said, are you sure, Dr. J? I said, yep. So they would go, and I'd say, so they would come back to me. They're asking. I said, okay, well, why don't you tell them that I'm a teacher? Okay. Then they came back. I said they were a teacher, but that wasn't enough. They want to know what you do. They say that I'm a first to ninth century B.C. scholar. They won't ask another thing. So this one guy who really liked me just had a difficult life. We're friends now. You know how I'm going to talk about. And so one of the girl students came back to me, and he got her on a Monday morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Come here, Angela, her name was. Come here. What's the matter with you? What's with Jay? I told you already. No, there's something else. Well, I don't know what's the matter with you. There is. I just know there is. He had a few expletives, as Rick would say. No, there's something else. And so I walked in, and he looked at me, saw me, goes, that's what I'm talking about. She goes, what? That. What? Nobody's happy at 5 o'clock in the morning. On a Monday at the gym. And I just come in because I just came off the mountain from this place that I'm going to talk about in a minute. I don't care how tired my flesh is. I don't care how it feels. I'm not listening to it. I'm not concerned about it. I just came from the man. And we just shared a love relationship. I don't care what time it is. I'm going to go in there and pump some iron and go to work, yo. You follow me? That's who we are. Well, Jay, does that mean you're going to make me smile? No. But I'm going to bring you to a place and open up a door for you and I in this invitation for fellowship that will cause something to arouse our hearts and our lives, that despite what's happening, we soar like eagles and we live on mountaintops and we experience the God of the universe, and there's nothing that stands in our way. So here are our partners. Please, tonight, Cornerstone, we're making disciples of this church. Why? So that we carry that covenant with us like a brooding mother. What's going on? Yeah, man, I like it. They don't see it, but I walk like this everywhere I go. And now this whole prophetic thing is later in my life. It wasn't as much in the early days. So now I got this, and I got something to say. That's right. Come on. Mm-hmm. Here it is, the third one. Listen, I just want to quote a verse for you. See, Jesus says some incredible things. Nicodemus comes to see him at night, and he blows Nicodemus away. He says, you got to be born again. Nicodemus goes, have you ever seen my mother? I'm going to get back in my mother's womb. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I know he's like this, though. Oh, my God, we're not even at zero. How are we going to do this? I don't know how we're going to do this. I know he had those kind of conversations because I've had them. I'm sure you've had them. And he goes, I don't understand. He goes, listen, I've told you earthly things. How will I tell you heavenly things? Then he says this. He goes, no man has ascended except he who has descended, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Nicodemus is like this. Huh? So what you're telling me, it's not in the scriptures because Nicodemus just goes away. So what you're telling me is you are here and you're here. So you're with me right now, but you're also with your Father right now. That's what you're saying. You're having a face-to-face conversation with me, but you live in another dimension at the same time. So what you're saying to me is you're earthly and you're heavenly in one being. That's why he says things like, what I see my Father do, I broke it up. I said, you can't be me now. You mean you feel kind of like wondering if it's real like I do. No, I see him. I hear him. When he works, I work. Me and my Father are one. Strong language. Language that I love, that's challenged me as a disciple. I want to be that. And so I struggled and I sweated and I pulled and pressed and would get agitated and think, And then I finally learned this one. Intimacy. You see, it's a beautiful thing. When he ascended, prior to his ascension, no man had ever ascended before. Men have looked up there. Daniel, Jacob, and Isaiah looked up there. The Lord came down to Adam. He came down to Moses on Mount Sinai. The throne of God was there. He was there. He says, look at the backside of my glory. But no man ever went up there. No man ever ascended there. No one. Not Enoch, not Elijah. There was no way of entry into that place. He's the first man to ever ascend. When he ascended, he made a way into the heavenlies for every man. Please, let me go back here. As partners, if I'm struggling and with the Word of God, I'm struggling with my life, I can come with assurance, no shame, to the throne and ask for grace and mercy. Grace is divine influence upon my heart, and it's reflected in my life. Mercy is something that I can't buy. I can't purchase it. It's freely given because he's merciful. Even though I feel wretched, filthy, broken, I feel shamed. It's here. I've got to tell you, I'm more comfortable here than I am here, even with her. I'm more comfortable there. He's the safest person that ever was. So even here, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, is he consecrated away, initiated away, that is, through his flesh, that we could come to his throne as if it was yesterday, as if it was this morning. It's so fresh. What's he doing when I come? He's writing his law upon my heart. Here's the thing that's beautiful. Once it's on your heart, it's part of your life. It's there. Your heart just beats. We don't even know. It doesn't stop. So he writes it there. I'm just living it. There are things that I hope to be here that I already am here. There's things here that I wish I could be that I am now. That's what I'm saying to you. We haven't arrived. It's all right. There's no arrival. There is arrival. It's Christ and his life, character, everything about him in the earth. That's the goal. I'm not trying to be a good preacher, good prophesier, or good anybody. Not even trying to be a good husband. I know that if I get Christ, I get it all. If I get Jesus, I get everything. You okay? Okay, so here I have access to the throne. So what I used to do was when I got in trouble, I would just kind of go. I didn't go anywhere. It's this simple. I just turn from here to there. Wherever you is, you know, do I have to, I would just say, well, where's north? Because I know he's in the north, but he comes from the east. No, he says, forget that. Just right where you are. See, it's this simple. We don't have to go home, find a prayer closet. I stop now, right here. It's in the gym, it really works. Jay, stretching out the shoulder? Yep. In the mall, it doesn't work as well, but I still do it anyways. Just drawing near. Draw near. That's it. Make a turn toward him. It's that simple. He's that open to every one of us tonight. He wants to speak. He wants to unveil himself. He wants to make himself known. He longs for intimacy. So I want to do the last portion over here, and I'm done with this. John is the one who freaks me out. It's beautiful, though. His language is, when I first read it, I thought, can't be. And it's my favorite verses. I didn't want to read them, so I just quote them. He says, that which is from the beginning. Right away, it gets me, the beginning. So way back there, eternity, I started with it this morning. Yeah, back there when it was the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Yeah, I always wondered, what went on back there? I mean, it's got to be boring just hanging out with the same two people forever. I mean, he said, that which was from the beginning, we have seen it. I go, whoa, whoa. What do you mean, you saw it? Yeah, we handled it. We beheld it. You see what beheld is? I'm looking, but now as I'm looking, I see. I beheld it. That's why I love our Bible. I beheld it. And I'm saying, what? He said, it was the Word of life. The Word of life. It was manifested. Again, I'm in the language. I'm thinking, wait a minute. You mean you saw the Word living that life in front of you? Yeah, it was manifested, unveiled. We watched a man have intimacy with an unseen God. We watched them become one. he will even say it to Philip. Philip, they would say, you know, we got one last thing we want to know at the end of his life. What is it? Show us the Father. And he'd be like, don't you understand? When you see me, you see him. They had become one in intimacy. That's always been the passion of the Father. They shared a love that humanity could never understand, humanity could ever know. That's why he came. When people looked into his eyes, they saw something and they heard words that they never heard before. There was a love that demonstrated and was clearly in him that they couldn't believe, but his disciples saw it. He said it was manifested to us. We saw it. We saw the word of life. We watched a man walk in the earth, 100% human, but we saw him become one and have an intimacy with the God that was invisible to us. We saw it. The life, the way God lives, was manifested to us. 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4. I'm just quoting it to you. Then he says this. His desire is that we have the same fellowship. The word is intimacy. The word is face-to-face. I never realized, you know, in all of this, the partnership, the participation, it wasn't until probably 25 years ago, maybe 27, it began to happen. It was though I moved from here to there. But I knew I was here, but I had this dimension. There's a door set in the heavens, John says, in the Revelation. There's a door set there. You see, the Hebrew writer would say that he was a forerunner. He went before us behind the veil. The veil was the place that kept man from God, but it's kept man, humanity, from God as well. Not only in the tabernacle of Moses, but humanity. He came and ripped the veil apart and opened a door, and the ability to know the God of the heavens intimately, him who sits upon the throne, the Lamb, this dimension of God, no man could come up and see God. No man could live in the dimension of God. But what he did was he took a piece of this place and of himself and he put it in humanity, because in humanity there would be this cry, I've got to know you. I want to see you. This doesn't satisfy me. I'm not of this earth. I'm not, but I've got to live here. I know, and I got to represent you, but I need something. And he knew what would cause that seed to survive were to live and dwell here. The truth is we can come from here. So why not start every morning here? It's simple, just like I said, love you, desire you. Is it a time frame? To be honest with you, I was more familiar with this life because I was born in this life. But when I got born again, I started to get more familiar with that life. We are born to know him in his dimension. It's not kooky, crazy. We float. Look at Jace floating. Look at it. Oh, no. He closed this gap. What separated humanity and divinity, he closed it up by putting divinity in humanity. In the man, Jesus Christ, that he would walk it out and he would demonstrate partnership, participation, and intimacy. That's why from heaven now, even tonight, there is a woo from the Father and the Son and the Spirit. There's a wooing, draw up, come to me, come up, behold me, see me. He knows this. That's why John will continue to write, any man even desires this will have joy that cannot be quenched. Just the joy. So part of it with me is this whole thing of I'm living for one thing. I've got to see you Monday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday morning. It doesn't matter. I'm living for it. In the meantime, appreciate the covenant because I'm a human being. Thank you for healing me, making me whole. I'm a disciple too. I'm carrying the good news and he's adding gifts. Oh, he doesn't want to say, well, Jay, you have enough gifts. Oh, no, I love it. He'll give the guy who has 10 one more. Yeah. He wants to flood us with his power and his might and his glory and the revelation of him. He wants to flood the earth with his glory. He doesn't want to spittle. He doesn't want to take a little squirt gun and wheel and just kind of get a few of us. Oh, no. He wants to cover the earth with his glory. God is faithful, who has invited us into the fellowship of his dear Son. I just want you to know the Son came and was willing to die for all three of these, but especially that what they shared in intimacy and what they shared in love relationship, their plan from eternity, the devil knows it, was that creation might be one with their Creator, and that we would see him and behold him, and that there would be such an initiation of love overwhelming to you and I, that we could not help. Jesus is the example. They couldn't beat it out of him. He easily chose his Father over himself. I want to be such a man. Stand with me for a moment. Thank you for allowing me just to share that little bit. Appreciate it. I want us to carry the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. I want us to begin to walk in a new faith and a new belief that what God has said he'll do in power and might, he'll do it. I want us individually, no matter how old you are, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what's going on, that he has released the kingdom of God to us. We're the carriers of it. We are his disciples. We are his believers. We are his that desire intimacy. And he wants to turn the world upside down again. What an honor for us. That a baby, yeah. Tell him, out of the mouths of babes, go for it. So if you need healing tonight, we're all standing just so that you can stretch a little bit. I want you to raise your hand. Well, Jay, I got prayed earlier today. I don't care. We're not doing that thing. If you have to raise your hand 44 times more, it doesn't matter. He's not like that. He's not like that. Hey, Michael, go tell. No. It's all good. Come on. See him. All right. The person's got their hand raised. Just touch them. And we're just believing for the release of the power of miracles, healings, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing to be released here in this church amongst us. But please understand, without me saying any more about it, we're to take the Spirit and the Word to the world. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, just say, yay, Lord. Give the Lord a hand, please. Amen. Beautiful. Sit, please. We're good. I got about 30 minutes. That wasn't bad. Yeah. You okay with that? Yeah? You okay? Good, Pastor? Good, great. Okay, we're my partner up there. Oh, partners. Edwina and her, oh, not Steve. Sorry, Steve, Edwina. Yeah. So you're really hoping to hear from the Lord, so this is all a good thing. But God is really drawing near, my sister, to strengthen your hearts. Just, it's like you're in the disciples were in a boat and everything was stormy, the wind was contrary. It just seemed like everything was blowing against them. They couldn't see Jesus because he was up on the mountain. So it wasn't clear that he really knew what was going on in their lives. They didn't know. And they were frightened. Can you imagine men frightened? But they was. It was a scary moment. It was so dark and so stormy. They had no idea that he could see them. Isn't that incredible that even though they felt like he couldn't see them, he could? And so they continued. They didn't stop going forward. They didn't return. They didn't go back to anything old. They didn't go back to any other yesterday. They just continually pressed on, and what really happened was they weren't going anywhere. They were out in the middle. It took so long to get there. They were tired and weary, much like we get in our lives. You understand? But they had no idea that there was a time that he'd come walking on the water, and they would see him like they've never seen him. You have to know, though the storms are raging around you, though it seems as though your boat's just making it, like life has so many bumps, so many turns, really uncertain what will happen. Will we sink? Will we swim? Will we move forward? Are we going back? What will it be? You have to know the Lord is drawn near to you, to your home, and to your life, and He will speak to the stormy weather, the storm around you. He will speak to the things that are so contrary, standing against you. You know, it's been difficult for you, though, because you know it's hard to forget memories. They're hard. And when someone disappoints us, it's hard to release that. All of us are here, not just you. All of us are this way. When a father says he'll do something he doesn't do, it sets in our heart right now. Who can we really trust? Can we really trust anybody? And all of us have been through fathers like that. But isn't it amazing? You heard it now. We have a new father who is trustworthy. He is faithful. And my sister, the Lord is coming to heal this issue with not only authority figures, but men especially who do not hold their words true, even. It's so beautiful about you, and your friends know this, but you're such a tender woman. Things have made, if you rub something long enough, it becomes calloused. And some of us have calloused areas, but it's only because someone rubbed it so much it became calloused. I don't want my feet to be calloused, but if I'm in my shoes long enough, I got a callous there. I don't know how it happened, but it's there. And in our lives, many times, areas of our heart are calloused, but the Lord's coming, my sister, to rub oil upon the calloused part, and you will see God heal your heart that was so wounded as a young woman, especially in that 12, 13, and 14-year-old when things were difficult for you. And He's going to stand. You don't know the story. You might, but you need to go back and do it. He gets into the boat, and the disciples are looking at Him because Peter just tried to walk in the water to get in, and He immediately commanded the winds to cease, and they were to the other side just like that. Isn't it amazing? He has the ability to cause things that aren't and can't be to be. My sister, you continually trust in Him. You walk according to the things that you know, even though so much is going on, so much opposes it. And my sister, the Lord will cause everything to change. Don't look for the change. He could have said to the disciples, yo, I'm coming, chill. But He didn't say anything. You know, sometimes I don't like that about Him. He could have came early, but He waits till 3 in the morning. They're out there for 9 hours. I'm thinking, you know, I've thought about sometimes, when are you going to come? I wish I didn't know that story because I know the answer. I hate that when I ask a question, I know the answer. He doesn't mind it, supposedly. But I know this about Him, though. It may not be when I think it should be, but I can be assured He will come. Sister, it's been an incredible life for you. It really has. I mean, you've been through so much in your life. Most people would have been destroyed by now, but you stood the test of time. Incredible. You're a tough lady. I wouldn't want to fight you outside. I just wouldn't. I'd do it. No way, man. I'd have to get, well, there's nobody big enough in here. I'd have to get somebody really large in here to, yeah, because you've had to fight for everything even since you were young. Nothing ever came easily. Nothing ever came without a cost. Nothing ever came. You had to trade for everything. You did. It never was anything given to your gift. In fact, more things were stolen, more things were taken than were ever given to you. Isn't it incredible? There's no way. You know, the redemption story is not possible to believe. You believe it right now, and you're going to believe what I'm saying to you. More than that, you're going to see what I'm saying to you come to pass. But it's hard to tell somebody a redemption story. How can I live a life and so many things be taken, but He restore all things? The natural mind says, well, you mean He'll make me feel better today? Oh, no, 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 no. He has this incredible way of going into eternity past and healing things in our lives that we've been carrying with us, wounds, scars. It's like there's places that are broken. Some men limp their whole lives. They don't literally limp, but because of an event in their past, it's caused them to be veered off the right course all of their lives. Only the Lord knows that. And my sister, when I saw you the other day at the, yesterday, I knew for sure you walked by me a couple times. I just looked and I thought, this is cool. I never had a chance to get back to you, but I love when he does a good bit, and he's just talking about, we didn't have a chance to speak to you. I didn't know if I would, but it was just good because I knew this. I'm just telling you what He's already doing. Because He's favored you. I know, can you believe that? Who would, we would think? Why would anyone? Oh, no, no, no. Because He takes what one person might think is of no value and He makes it precious. And my sister, the Lord is involved in causing you to be precious in His sight and yours. It doesn't mean you go back to your people and go, I'm precious. No, no, it doesn't mean that. But it's something for you to just take a deep breath and relax, knowing that the Lord is absolutely in love with you and that He has begun the restoration. I won't go back to all of the things. I just set them in pieces, but you know your life. So I certainly wouldn't say these things, but you have to know that He is not ashamed of you at all. He will use you in time for the restoration of the lives of people. Don't limit Him or yourself. A day is approaching of no limitations. And the people who you love, who have shunned you and pushed you away, I know the breach is so big, so wide, we could never build that bridge. Watch Him. Watch Him do it. You have to know this about Him, because you're this kind of girl that you would jump out of an airplane, rock climb. You're crazy. You are. You've always been like that, though. When you were young, you were just crazy. I mean, you just do things. I mean, some are born like that. I'm not jumping out of no plane. Linda's not even happy in the plane. She's not jumping out of the plane. Okay? But you are. The Lord is going to cause you to move and be a healing balm in the lives of many, many people, because you're going to believe that there's nothing impossible with God. See, a crazy person believes that. Not really. A redeemed person, who they will sometimes say is crazy, believes that. All of us in this room believe that. But in your life, girl, it's going to be absolutely true. The Lord is coming for everything. He's not only purchased your soul back and your heart and eternity for you, but He's purchased your life, and He's coming back for everything. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Sorry, honey. So you have to know that schooling will be the choice, your choice with your mom and dad, and I would say with your pastor, but he lives at your house. Pastor Travis, too, and all that. But you have to know, girl, that the Lord is building your course. Ever since you were young, I could see it. I spoke more to your sister than to you, your older sister, but He's building a course. And the world is going to be your harvest field. You'll work this out over time. I'm 30 years from today. Not that it will start in 30 years, but I'm talking a whole 30-year period. From the time you are now, 30 years up in, I'm speaking to this time frame. But the Lord is already setting courses into the world, not just where your brother is from, but many parts of the world, Asia, Germany, Sweden, Finland, England, Italy, some of the South Africa, India, Australia, New Zealand, these parts of the world. In time, the Lord's going to open up to you. But He's going to build within you the ability by profession and by the gifting of God to touch any type of people. Your dad's an amazing man and your mother's an incredible woman. And both of them are absolute people lovers. Dad wears the shepherd's garment, but mom has the shepherd's heart as well as him. And so the Lord is building within you the shepherd's heart. But it won't necessarily be a flock like Dad has now, but He'll give you to people 3, 8, 15, a tribe, a group, a city, and you'll know it. Over time, He'll cause you to learn it. But He's building you, this goes through them, of course, but He's building within you the ability to see worldwide, to see wider scope. He just is with you. He's made you fluid. You just are. You're just movable. And He's able to turn you. He's making a woman, a young gal, that He can really turn and walk her in this direction, turn her back and walk her in this direction. A woman who won't be so... Some people can't do that. Unless I'm planned and it's set and purposed, I can't do it. I got to have everything just right. You won't be like that. It doesn't mean you don't plan and have orderly. But the Lord will cause you, much of these next 2 years here in this church, are going to be very influential to you, because He's going to cause you to walk in incredible gifts of healing and working of miracles. And with me in relationship with you, there's going to be a prophetic word. It won't be like me, though, but you'll have a sense of what's happening. Elisha has an ability to see into the invisible. That's exactly what's happening. And the part of this whole intimacy thing is the Lord's already going to begin wooing you. You just got to have a sense of it. You're going to be doing work, and you're just kind of running all over the place. You're going to begin to have a sense. You see, Samuel didn't realize until the Lord He heard Samuel, Samuel, and he ran over to Eli. And Eli said, I didn't call you. And he went back. He did it again. Samuel, Samuel. And he ran to Eli. Well, he goes, you need to go back and just sit there. The Lord is speaking to you. And that's how it'll come. You won't hear your name as much as you'll have a sense of, I need to draw near, maybe open up my Bible, and he's going to begin wooing you to the place that he will speak to you and make things understood. Please know this is really for your parents' sake, but the Lord will watch over you. Already now, 30 years, 28, 22 years, he's already in the future arranging things for your safekeeping, arranging financial things. He's moving some mountains, raising some valleys. He's causing things to be that aren't. He's already speaking to harvest fields that you haven't even planted that you would reap out of them. It's incredible what's happening. Be thankful for your mom and your dad. Be thankful for your family because the Lord chose to put you in this family as he did with your sisters and your brother, but it was his choice to put you there that you would be a young woman that would be his. Doesn't mean you don't get married. Listen, you'll have a great marriage, trust me. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, and he'll have a similar heart. I'm not going to talk about that, of course, not at this point. But you must know, though, that there's the favor of God is upon you, much like it was Ruth, much like it was Mary. It's just you found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Don't strain over this. You won't. This is cool. You write it down, whatever. You put a tape away. But the Lord will work these things out. It's an amazing moment of time for you. But you are, he is changing. He just allowed you to walk and to live. You're going to see the Lord begin to really draw near to make you understand his heart and his purpose and his calling. But the intimate part is one that he is really, really working within your life and within your heart. It's going to be good. And, yeah. Beautiful. I like it. We okay? Are you all right with that one? All right. He knows it, but a lot of the guys don't know. And I love everybody in this church, but when it comes to the pastors' families, because I pastored for years, is my heart beats for them. And it's supposed to be that way. Not any less for everyone else in this room, but specifically and especially for them. That's all the pastors' families, all of them. And this one right here, too. Yeah, beautiful. Sister, the Lord is really drawn near to you and to your life. You're an amazing woman. You've been through a lot as well, like I said to that woman. Life has taken its toll upon you. It really has. When you were a young girl, though, you were the dance and singing gal. That's for sure, though. You had this thing, man. I mean, I can't do it because, as you notice, I'm white. So even if I try to do it, you just have this way when you were just little. You did, though. And you do remember a peace in your home. Actually, it was not your mother, not your grandmother, but your great-grandmother really believed, was a believer. And she believed for the family. Even though the family struggled, your grandmother and your mom, there was some difficulty. They went through difficult lives in their families, you know. With the men especially, there's been this line of men that have come through your family that have hooked to the women on your side that has been difficult, their marriages have been difficult. But that cry of hers was amazing. I love this cry from suffering women. It's incredible to me because I know it now by the way I hear it and the way I understand it. It's incredible to me how sensitive he is to the suffering woman and the suffering moms. The husbands too and the men too, but he has incredible sensitivity to them. He was that way when he walked the earth. When they wanted to stone a woman, he would look at them and think, what? Who are you? He was incredible. And so he really draws near now to begin the repairing of your heart. Your grandmother's cry was that God would make covenant with her people, your great-grandmother. And the Lord is really moving into your life very gently, though, because he understands you, that even though you desire him in the word, he knows, though, that it's being careful of being sensitive with you and being very merciful is really the way that's best, because you can only be shoved and pushed so much in life. You can only be prodded and demanded so much in life by people, by bosses, by men especially. Pretty soon you can't take anybody's pressing. See, he knows that. That's why, isn't it crazy? In all this room, he comes to every one of us so personally. That's a love that's just indescribable. But it is in your direction to heal your heart and to restore your own personal family. Even siblings, ones that have been close to you, even where marriages are broken and reunited and there were kids that were stepchildren, this whole thing, this the size of your family, I'm looking at all of that, so many broken places, so many breached places, so much anger, so much fighting, but the Lord is stepping in the midst of it to command peace to rule. Wow. I mean, when he does such a thing, everything ceases and settles. But he's coming because of your personal cry. The last 4 years, especially, the last two especially, have been a fresh cry and return to him. Sometimes we think it'd be like, oh, we're going to do this again. You know, that's how people are. Oh, yeah, okay, right. We're going to do this again. You tried this before. Oh, no. This is the real deal. And so he's coming to heal your heart that is so broken, still bleeding, especially in the back from all these things that I've been talking about. But the Lord himself, my sister, is laying his hand upon your heart in the back and his hand on the front of your heart. And he's commanding it by soft words and by the breath of his mouth to be whole again. And you'll see the Lord all this year. Be patient with yourself. But you'll watch all this year. You'll watch him heal your heart and heal your emotion. Where it's like an ulcer, like there's just it's a continual inward fight here. The Lord's going to cause peace to rule and your heart to be settled, and you're going to, for the first time, you're going to know somebody is with me, somebody is for me. And girl, before we get to 2017, he'll work out redemption with people you thought you would never ever hear from again. Watch him do it. Beautiful, yeah. So there's this new thing that the Lord is really beginning in your life. It's beautiful. I noticed it today. I thought, this is cool. Actually, in her life, too. It isn't just him, even though, you know, this is quite a catch. I know that. He is, you know. He's a real lover, though. People wouldn't know it, though, but he's a romantic, but we don't want to talk about it. He has to keep the image of just being Pastor Jason, taking care of things. But the Lord is really drawn near to your life, and I've been careful. Remember, I prophesied to you, you were sitting in the back the first time. I remember. But we've had this new thing, us. Linda, us, him, us, you. But God has really drawn near, my sister, to strengthen your own heart. The hand of the Lord is upon you. It's not the first time you've heard it. And even though you're uncertain because you've watched the hypocrisy, you've watched the mess, you've watched the stress and strain it's put on other people in your own family, you're really not into religious people at all. But there's a part of you that wants it real. And if you're going to be involved at all, you want to be able to be you and real. So I want you to know, you see that platform up there? Well, they built that for the musicians and the pastors. But only the Lord can build a platform. Only the Lord can make room for a man or a woman. Only he does. He doesn't push anybody out, but he does something in the person that the people around them will trust. That's how he does it. Because he knows, but sometimes everyone else doesn't. And so you have to know the Lord is really moving. Even at work, this whole year and the next year after that is going to be so incredibly changing to you. You're going to be like, your head's going to spin off. Wow. It's going to be financial increase. It's going to be recognition. And all of a sudden, there's going to be this renewed thing in your heart that was there when you were a little girl, that the will of God is absolutely your passion. It doesn't mean you stop being a mom, you stop working. It has nothing to do with that. It doesn't mean you don't necessarily connect with him, but you will more in what he does. But you're going to find the Lord. It's going to be so fluid, so easy. You're going to be like, you don't want to say to me, Jay, I never thought the will of God, for some reason, just seemed like it would be Tin Man-ish. You know, it's just difficult. Oh, no. It's fluid. It's oil. And he's coming to oil your spirit, your heart, your arms, your legs, your knees, that you can walk, run, jump, dance, stand still. Everything you do will be in fulfillment of what he has been already building in you. This is a great day for you. You didn't know this, though, but the Lord was planning many things that you haven't, you're in them now, and you haven't even walked to them. Because from your birth, Grandma laid her hands on your mother's womb and just said, Lord, bless her. And the Lord said, I will, all of her days. How many want that? Yeah, take it, man. Yes, please do. Yeah, okay. I got to sneak to this side, all right? You okay? All right, good. How am I doing? So this is your wife? True. It says true. Now, we've gotten close, though, so I could tease him a little bit. If you notice, he's a large man. So, you know, I would have to, but we've kind of become lovers in a right way. True. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the family. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. So this is your wife. Yes. Yeah. You really got an amazing woman. You know, because a strong woman, academic, a woman who lives with real intent. That's you. You know how he is, though. The truth is he does live by the clock, but he could just go for days and hours. And if you don't tell him to be home at 7, he'll just be with some people and be out till 8:30. And then just say, whoa. That's how he is. You know that. And so you've had to deal with that. You know, it's all good. And you're good with that, though. You're, you know, the kids don't know it, though, but you kind of, I don't want to say you straighten him out, but you help him along the way. you just help him along the way. Yeah. I like that better because sometimes she helps me along the way, too. But there has been, and I love this, though. You live in tension. It's just the way you are. It doesn't mean he brings or the kids bring it or work brings it, but you just do. It's just the way you're built. You're much like your dad in many ways. You're just built with this inner strength. That's why I said with the academic, you're incredible. Whether you teach or don't teach, you're born to be a teacher, a mentor. It's within you. You're strong. The kids know it, though. They know when it's homework time, when to get up, when to go to bed. They know this. You just keep your house administrated. They all might think, geez, mom's like, oh, watch, how's mom doing? Well, she says, oh, no, it's who you are. It's the way the Lord built you. But the reality is, though, is there's a dimension of the kingdom that the Lord is planning for you, a release into a deeper purpose in the kingdom. Now, I want to say, it doesn't mean you quit out there working. It doesn't quit. You mean quit at home or quit him. It's nothing like that. But the Lord has all of these years, the Lord has in all of these years has been building within you, my sister. You're a careful listener. Even while I was sharing there, you are. That's the way you're built. That's why I said academic. Super smart, very intelligent. As a matter of fact, the truth is there are many levels of degrees that you still can go to just because of your intelligence. Really, with you, there's absolutely no limitations on what you can do. There are none. There are none. And I believe this too, that the Lord, even by this word, is going to stir your spirit again to begin considering fresh vision, fresh direction. Doesn't mean you separate. I'm not saying anything like that. I know you. You would never put them second or third or fourth. That's you. But this word comes, though, because there is the hand of the Lord rest upon your family. This young gal is unbelievable. Wait till you see what she does. You know how she is with songs. She loves music. She's incredible. She's incredible writing, too. She has this poetic way about her. She is. She's so fluid, everything about her. She really is, and she's so much like you. You know, she just is, and there's a strength within her. She likes things orderly. All of her friends follow her. She follows nobody. That's just exactly how she is. She's, you know, you might say, don't be bossy, but she's just born to lead. But I'm letting you know this, though, because the Lord has a plan. It wasn't just to be his husband or to be the mom or to be a good daughter or to be a good sister or be a good niece. All of it's good. You're meticulous at being everything you need to be to the point sometimes of so much pressure, it just wears you out. But by this word, the Lord is settling a fresh peace in your heart to be able to go the distance. You are made to run. You are made to be a woman who climbed the mountains, not simply one who sits on a seat or sits in a row or just a come alongside person. Absolutely not. That's why you two are good for each other, because until your last breath, even though you have in some ways separate lives now, you join together his work, your work, what you do. But God, in the end, when these kids grow, you're going to see this uniting and this incredible strength toward the kingdom, toward restoration of families. And my sister, listen, God will give you to the younger people all of your life. I'm talking 30 years old and down especially, because you will set in their hearts the ability to lead, much like a Deborah person is what God has built in your spirit. Not so much, it's not so much like this is one prophetic way, the way I'm doing things, but there's many other dimensions of it, movements of it. You will have a way where people trust you like they did with Deborah because of the strength God has put within you. And so you're not sure sometimes. You feel strong sometimes. Sometimes you feel weak, and it's difficult for you to feel weak because you push back over. No, I need to stand. I need to feel strong. And it's true. It is this, but he's built it within you. But what he's doing, though, even by this word, is causing you to draw near to him and to re-look at him. Oh, he knows. Your heart's pure, my sister. There's no question about it. But he's wanting, as I said here, to woo you to another place and another dimension, because you have yet to be the value you are to the kingdom of God. It's okay. He's making sure that you're not ahead of time, but he'll make sure that you won't fall behind time. But you are. Understand what he is building in this, your entire family. His hand is upon you for the kingdom of God and for the purpose of the kingdom of God, not only here, but out in the world, that you would carry it. And I want to tell you this, every time he woos you and you feel like you need to give yourself to a thing or to a ministry or to a place, you have no idea, but he's already has a sickle in his hand. I see it. And the Lord is coming for your entire family, all of them. All the people, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, even the ones who are far away, he's coming for them all, the ones you don't see. He's doing all this just because of his favor that he has set upon you. It's running shoes, girl. You can wear high heels. I'm sure you look amazing in high heels. I love them. But you're born with the Nikes, man. You're born with the Flyers. You're born to run. Born to run. And all of your life, you'll run. You'll be a runner for the kingdom of God. You'll be a carrier of the power of God and a carrier of the will of God. I'm just telling you, the Lord is moving into this home in another dimension of his presence, of his purpose, and of the belief and faith. It's like he's going to set the house ablaze for him and his kingdom. Appreciate that. Yeah, we don't know whether you're good. You're good. You're good. Yeah, no, you're good. You are. Everything is good. So this is some turning and changing in your life. The Lord is really, it's good, though, because I love this about both of you. So I want to say something to you in a few moments. But I love this about you, though. You've stayed faithful, both of you, but I'm really speaking to you. You really have. And it hasn't always been easy, though, because you're a watcher of people. And you don't always feel behind, but it feels like you're behind your sister a little bit. It just feels like, you know, you're not second classes, but you're just kind of walking behind and tend to follow. That's just how it's always felt like. And so you've watched that girl and that guy, and you've watched that situation. And you're looked at. You're not envious, but you look and go, oh, look at that. And the thing is you'd go home, and not with so much a tear that would draw down, but your eyes would be watering. You'd be a little cry, Lord, what about me? What about me? What about me? You do it so gently, and you don't have any idea, though, but he would look around, and even he would have watery eyes. The angels would look, and they would think, he doesn't cry over anything anymore. When Jesus was down there, he wept, but I've never seen this before. What's this? What that is? It's an absolute love of a father for his daughter. Would he ever leave her without any good thing? Well, the answer is no. Sometimes she doesn't know. Sometimes people don't know. But you have to know, my young sister, as the Lord is turning in your direction, it is though you've been living in, you're not sure if it's dusk or dawn. You're not sure if the sun is setting or the sun rising. Am I getting older before my eyes? I don't know. Where am I? You just don't know. It's just you're not sure. Well, I want you to know the sun isn't setting, girl. The sun's rising. It is the dawning of a new day. It is the dawning of a new era of time. It's just not your age. You will never have to worry about your age. Never look at your age. Somebody tells you, just I don't want you to lie, but just say any number. I'm 93. I'm 4. I'm 12. I'm 80. Don't you know how old you are? And the truth is, I don't. Because you're going to be ageless in time. The Lord just made you that way. It doesn't mean you'll always be here, but you'll be here a long time, a lot of time, and you'll watch the transition. But you are absolutely a jewel set in the royal diadem of the King. He has set you there. Before you were born, he made a place for you that you would be considered precious in everyone's eyes. You know when somebody has a big stone, everybody looks and goes, oh, Ooh, wow, ah. And she kind of shows it off. That's exactly the intent of the Lord, is to plan and say, look, look at her. And people go, ooh, ah, wow, ah. And I like this about you. You go, like you do. No, don't. Yeah. The reason he could do that is because of you. So understand, the Lord will work it out financially, of future. He's already planned it. If he has to, he'll command gold and silver to show up on the top of the ground for you if he has to. Yeah, I got to keep going here. It's amazing with you, the strength that the Lord has built within you. And you were, though, see, you were made to stand in the world, even though you'll always have a part of the church. It'll be a 60-40, though. 40% here, 60 out there. You are made to be a woman who represents the kingdom of God there. That's why your strength. That's why you're fearless to walk in places other people won't walk. You've always been this way. You're not afraid of what you might face. In fact, you'd rather face new things than do anything the same, anything old. You just don't want to do that. I'm like you. I don't like reruns. Linda will watch certain movies like 55 times. She'll watch Lucy 700,005,290 times. I mean, she just will, though. She'll love it. We'll see it. Linda, I can quote this. Well, go ahead, quote. I want to watch it anyways. And she'll laugh at the same parts. I know it's coming. She's going to take the fudge and put it in her mouth. I know. And Linda's going, and I'm like, and I laugh because Linda's on the floor. So the Lord is really coming to strengthen you, for you to understand you're both entering into a new day. But my sister, in the business world, the Lord will open it up and cause you to flourish tremendously there. He will cause, as it were, he's going to cause you to walk on pavement that's going to be of marble and of white and of gold and blue and of precious, marked by precious stones. What he's going to do is he's planning out your life that you'll be incredibly successful. Do not be afraid of challenges. Do not be afraid of having to maybe take another course here or another course there. Don't put any limitations on your ability. You're already being watched, and you will not that you wouldn't stay at one place for a long time, but you're going to constantly excel. Not ladder climb, that's different, but the Lord's going to cause you to continually excel, because he wants to. You're going to be an avenue of wealth, and you're going to be an avenue of prominence for your entire family. It's going to come through you. The Lord is working that out so that you'll be able to be strengthened to stay out there, that you won't pat yourself on the shoulder and say, look at how great I am. My family should count on me. It's none of that. It's simply the grace of God. And he has found it with you, as he found it with Noah, my sister. He's found it with you, that you might stand in the day to believe for your families, not only your salvation, even over your whole family. I just want to speak this word, because over your whole family has been, I don't want to say a cloud, but we're never certain when darkness will fall upon it. There's this sense of, well, when will something go wrong? I want you to know, by the word of the Lord, God is commanding the darkness to stay. It will never come upon your family. It'll never overtake your family, nor the waves, nor the winds, nor the raging sea. See, if he has to, he'll blow it open like he did with the Red Sea. You will never have to fear, you and your family. The Lord will bring you to the promise, the fullness of his intention, and nothing will stop it. Amen. We got to stand, please. Stand. Thank you. Sorry, I pushed a little bit there. I'm thankful that he's partnershiped me, us. I'm honored that I could be his disciple. That tomorrow I'm going to be another guy. I'm being renewed day by day. Thankful. But I don't live for either one. I live for the intimacy, the face-to-face, the beholding him. John will say it this way: any man who has that hope even purifies himself, even as he is pure. I've got a hope, and I want us to begin a new lifestyle. Let's start our day with him. 2 minutes, 1 minute. Just turn and say, yo, you're awesome. Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you. And then let's take off into the world, and let's carry the kingdom of God with us. Father, I thank you for this weekend, for tonight, for today, for 2016. Strengthen my brothers and my sisters. Let us believe you like we never have before. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Jay is, the Lord set Jay in the timing for our church, as we are not stopping believing for greater things, but the Lord is going to very specifically show us some greater things he wants to do in these next weeks and months as a church family. I want to ask you to continue to believe in prayer. Next week we will be giving away Bibles. Well, you'll be coming to church and we'll be giving you two Bibles to give to two people that need to know the most important message of love on Valentine's Day as it begins. I want to ask you to continue to hold that this isn't an end, but literally the Lord is bringing us into greater things. February 10th, which is 10 days, 11 days away, it's actually technically the beginning of Lent, but we're having another worship and prayer night like we did to mark the beginning of the year. And I believe the Lord is going to continue to provide the word that we need to continue not to lose the fire or the passion or the stirring. Even as we ask and seek in greater measure in Sunday mornings, the Lord has also put into place moments where we'll continue to behold his glory as a people in ways that will just be about the intimacy to continue on. So I want to encourage you to hold that in your heart. February 10th, as we have that Wednesday night, the kids programs, everything, doing another night of being before the Lord. And I just want to finish in a word of prayer. If you would, just bow your heads with me now. Lord, we ask that you would watch over your word and perform it in each of our lives. Draw each of us to an intimacy of your presence. Call us up to the mountain to be with you. And Lord, as you have both spoken individual words, but you have also spoken, Lord, your word, Father, from the scripture, for every heart here, let them cling to the mighty power of the Spirit that is overflowing. Flood our lives and overflow our lives that your glory would be known. Lord, we commit all these things to you now and ask you to watch over your word. We pray your blessing upon Jay and Linda, that you would watch over that and that great grace would be upon them, that their travels would, Lord, just, it would feel like grace. There would be beautiful grace to make the journey, the traveling, Lord, the changes, and the times when they'd like to rest but can't. Lord, a refreshing grace be over them in this season like never before. We thank you for it, and we ask that, Lord, now the word would fall to the ground as you allowed Jay to be your mouthpiece. But Lord, even in this season, and Lord, especially in a time in which our nation is in turmoil and fear grips the church because of the world, that Father, he and Linda would be anointed with a fresh ability, a fresh power to set the captive free and to drive a spirit of fear away from the church, Lord. And Lord, they would, Father, in that word, Lord, draw great glory unto yourself. We thank you for them. We commit them to your presence. We thank you for our family of God and ask that you would continue to receive glory as we walk in your peace and as we begin even tonight and tomorrow, loving you and clinging to the fellowship that is in the Son. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless you as you go. Continue to seek him with all your heart.